Montana legislature has gotten underway, and there's a lot on the plate. We're going to talk workforce. We're going to talk housing. I mean, we're talking 90 days on this session, and it'll go to the, who knows, maybe the second week of May, but we want to, taxes are on the plate. There's a lot on the plate for our legislature, our citizen legislature, and today we talk about that as we are live business days at the Capitol on Voices of Montana. All right, welcome along, everybody. Thank you for being here again. We are at the Great Northern Hotel in Helena, Montana, and this is the site of business. Dave's at the Capitol started yesterday, and so did the session, by the way. You know, constitutionally, they have to start after the on the first Monday, I believe, after the first of the year. So while all the banks were closed and the mail wasn't delivered, your legislators were working. We're going to talk about a couple of things a bit later on. Todd O'Hare will join us along with Paul Hopoff from MDU. Talk about the business side of things. Nancy Schlepp will be here, too, from Sandfire Resources. She's going to be conducting a panel here in just a little bit with Kristen Juris on red tape relief. And I'm honored to be with today members of the Senate. Now we have Senate Minority Leader Pat Flowers. Good morning, Pat. Thank you for being here.
Good morning, Tom. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I appreciate you being here. Steve Heinbaugh also, and they are majority whips, and it's Barry Usher. Steve's from the Weibo area, and a majority whip usher northeast of what's your district?
So it's parts of Yellowstone County, all of Musselshell County, all of Treasure County, parts of Rosebud County, and parts of Custer County.
Oh yeah, that's a tough district, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
To represent because of all the diversity there. Thank you guys for being here.
Thank you, Tom. Appreciate it.
Just got done with a session with leadership and Pat here at Business Days at the Capitol. Talked about priorities. Why don't you list some of your priorities, and I'll have you guys respond as well. Pat, of course, a minority leader, Democrat out of the Belgrade area.
That's correct, Tom. Yeah, as I mentioned just in the panel this morning, our top priority is to address affordable housing. That's an issue that affects not only human welfare in a place like Bozeman, where folks working homeless are living in campers and cars on the side of 19th, but it's also a business issue, and our businesses in Bozeman are struggling to find employees. You'll find, if you come to Bozeman, you'll find reduced hours at several businesses or folks that have closed their doors altogether because they simply can't find employees. And as was mentioned this morning, our median price of home now is over $900,000, which is astounding. So it's no wonder that bakeries can't find employees. And we're interested in kind of immediate solutions. We have some tools that we're going to take on in this coming session, but we need something more immediate, too. So we're looking at ways to incentivize landlords to provide some below-market rental rates, and that could have an immediate effect and create opportunities for folks to get in homes and be able to then work in the area and support the economy.
Barry, how do you deal with housing issues when you talk about your diverse area there? Yellowstone County, they've seen some increases, but you go maybe to rural America. What's it like out there? Are they? I know there's development pressures out there, but the average citizen, how do you address housing, perhaps in your perspective, both urban and rural?
So I would say, and Steve probably has the same outlook, is in the rural, we're not seeing as much. I mean, it's creeping away from urban Billings. So the metropolitan area, I guess if you call it, of Billings, so the Shepherd, the Huntley, their pricings are going up. But, you know, once you get up into, you know, Melstone, you know, Treasure County said they're seeing a little bit, but not as significant as Senator Flowers just mentioned.
Right.
There are pressures for people to sell their farm and ag land so people can develop, which I support. You know, that's our food source.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to make sure that we protect our farms and ranches and do the best we can with that. And so, again, in the rural setting, it's definitely not as bad as urban Bozeman, Billings, Helena, the big major cities.
What's it like in Weibo, Steve?
Well, there's housing crisis everywhere in Montana, and my problem with trying to find a solution is there could be a lot of people that try to put Band-Aids on it. And, mm-hmm. you know, what we got to work with is the system, the free enterprise system, and one thing that I see that adds to housing is permits, requirements. DEQ requirements, all these kind of things, and that can add thousands of dollars to building a house, and so I don't think we need to try to find little Band-Aids that's going to push it down the road, because that'll just make it worse, you know. So
yeah, and Tom, I one thing I wanted to highlight is he mentioned the red tape, and obviously this administration is trying to get rid of a lot of red tape. But I think it was last session Firemen's Association, I guess, they were pushing sprinklers for every house, even not rental properties, not just apartments, but even single-family homes they were trying to push, because that's a push going across the country. And if you looked at how much that would have increased, you know, the cost of a house outside of what's normally going through the free enterprise system, I mean, it just, although it may be a great idea, it's not a great idea. So
housing, and you know, we didn't get here overnight, and so I don't think we can expect overnight solutions on it. But, and Pat, you were talking about it as minority leader. You want more long term kind, and we could talk about housing an awful lot for the next 10 minutes or, you know, over the next 2 hours, whatever. But your comment on trying to, because I'm picking that up here, getting some long term solutions here, that's a longer process.
Sure, it is a longer process, and we need some short-term solutions too. I think we've got to hit it on both fronts. I think it sounds trite, but it's a complicated problem that has implications for, as I said, business, but it also affects schools. So in a place like Bozeman, I met with the school district last week. They've lost 350 students in the elementary portion of the school district. That affects funding, so they've lost, I think, 7-8% of their funding as a result, which means they may have to in fact close an elementary school. Why is that? Because the median size of our family in Bozeman is now down to like 2.16, because young families can't afford to live there. So this problem cascades in so many different directions, and until we really get a grasp on it immediately, really, we have to take this on. We're going to be struggling and continuing kind of downhill. So I think we need short-term, long-term. We need private solutions. We need state government, local government, federal government, all weighing in.
Just a small ask.
Yeah, just a small ask. But I think they're all pieces to it.
Senator Pat Flowers is Senate Minority Leader. We have Majority Whips Barry Usher and also Steve Heimbaugh here. Steve, why don't we go to you about some of your priorities? Or we talked about housing. I think a lot of those are probably going to be the same, but what strikes you next?
Well, Tom, that we need to look at the situation of what government has done to our system in the last few years here. We've got the big problem we have, I think, is inflation. That causes a housing problem. It causes every problem for a family, you know. And so I think it's what we need to do is try to figure out how to get government out of the way and not spend as much money as we do. So one of our top priorities in the Senate is to give back the money that the people gave to the government. You know, I went to McDonald's the other day and I bought a couple sandwiches and I gave them a $50 bill, and they gave me the change back right away. When I overpaid, they gave me the change back. And I think that's what government needs to look at. If we're trying to figure out 100 ways to give it back, it's just, we should just give it back. That's what I think should happen. If we get that idea, because we've been fed the line that when people spend money, it causes inflation. When government spends money, it causes inflation also. I think that we should give it back to the people, and that's what really should happen. So,
interesting approach, Barry. some of your budget. Let's talk budget then.
Well, actually, I was going to agree with Steve. I'm 100% on board giving as much of that money back. We should not spend that money. It's the people's money. It was not in our budget last session. We don't need the money. And everybody and their brother is trying to say, give me some, let me spend some here, let me spend some. It's the people's money, and they overpaid, and they should get the money back.
Do you think there'll be a fight over this?
I'm sure there is.
It's
going
degree,
to be. It's going to be a heated debate. You know, there's some of us that think 100% should go back, and then there's others that are willing to compromise at 50%. Mm-hmm. They want to pay for things that we've wanted for years, but, you know, for years we couldn't afford it. All of a sudden, you know, the people who need the money overpaid, and they need that money back to be able to fight inflation and be able to run their lives every day and their families. But one of my top priorities is judiciary reform.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's huge. I mean, we supposedly have three branches of government, equal branches, and it seems that our Supreme Court believes that, or all of our judiciary believes that they have the final say on everything. I believe that that's wrong. And you know, as we did last session, there were several things that we did to look into the judiciary and try and figure out what we can do. Unfortunately, you know, we did pass some great voter integrity bills, you know, based on what our constituents asked for. They sent a Republican majority here to do what they wanted, and we passed some bills. Constitution completely says that the voting laws are up to the legislature. Doesn't say up to the legislature with court review. It says up to the legislature. So my position and the position for a lot of us is that, you know, really the Supreme Court should not be weighing in on voter integrity bills. There was also I had a bill that was supposed to take it to the voters on whether or not Supreme Court justices should be voted on by district. Mm-hmm. Although the Supreme Court weighed in on that and said that was unconstitutional. Well, one, the first thing is with a judge, you're not supposed to rule on anything that affects you and that you have a conflict with. Well, that bill that they ruled on affected all of the Supreme Court justices and the Chief Justice. With that said, clearly they should not have been, they should have recused themselves. They all should have recused themselves, and other judges should have been assigned. There's just quite a few. And then we have the pro-life bills that, you know, Montana people have asked for that. And then the courts, you know, just throw them out as if the legislature doesn't matter. So my constituents are asking, why do we vote you in and send you to Helena to do the work of the people when these people in the courts can just throw it away? And then they see where Supreme Court justices, there's millions of dollars from out of state paying for their campaigns. And, you know, we the people do not get to really vote for who we want for Supreme Court because there's so much outside money. I mean, there was, I think, $2 million put in the last month.
The most recent race, yeah.
The most recent race.
We learned an awful lot, I think, in the last couple of years about our you know, judiciary, and so we'll be following that. I appreciate the concern and trying to address that. That's Barry Usher, Majority Whip, Steve Heinbaugh, Majority Whip as well, and then Senator Pat Flowers, he's the Minority Whip. And that, well, you know, we ganged up on you, Pat. I hope that's not okay with you.
That's just fine. And yeah. I'm actually Minority Leader, not Minority Whip.
Pardon me.
Yeah,
pardon
no
me.
Problem.
Apologies, yep. Slip of the tongue.
Yeah, and I would like to follow up on Barry's comments. To me, that the issue of the judiciary gets to the balance of powers that we have in the state. The legislature makes the laws, the executive branch implements them, and the judiciary then interprets the laws to see whether they are, among other things, whether they're consistent with our Constitution. The laws that have been overturned, for example, from the 2021 session, have all been deemed to be unconstitutional. That Constitution is the foundation for this state, and I would argue that Montanans have a keen appreciation for that Constitution. We just celebrated its 50th anniversary, and they have a keen appreciation for the need for a balance of powers. The legislature, regardless of the party who's in charge, the executive branch, regardless of the parties in charge, should be balanced. That's the system that we've adopted. And as I see the efforts of the majority, they are trying to upset that balance. I think it's an absolute mistake, and I think Montanans do not want that.
Or maybe protect that balance, too.
But I don't mean to argue on the show. But
no, but that's okay, because this is going to be an issue then.
Yeah, obviously, you know, I don't know if you've read the Constitution recently, but it does say the legislature shall set the voters' laws and how it is run, where, when, and how.
Yeah,
it's very clear.
It's interesting to see how this will play out, too.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I would add to that, Barry, that's also not unfettered. There is still a role, even in that assignment of authority, for the courts to review whether the legislature is actually carrying that out legally. That's their job.
Well, we could talk about the Second Amendment on the campuses, whereas the Supreme Court has really made it so, because if I carry on a campus right now, they have no authority to arrest me. They have none. So they only have authority over the students and their staff. They don't have authority over me.
Will that be settled? Do you think this is going to be an issue the legislature will try to just correct a little bit? That issue?
There are some other state cases that are going before the U.S. Supreme Court within the next year. I think those will be telling on whether or not the 10th Amendment and Supreme Courts and state Supreme Courts, what authorities they actually have. So
when I saw that ruling, I was disturbed by it to a certain degree about, you know, creating that branch, so to speak, whether that authority rests in them or not. And I'm glad you guys are, you know, on that kind of stuff. And the kind of information that you guys take into this session to make right decisions on those things, you know, I really appreciate all the time in the public service, and I think you guys are doing it for the right reasons. So. And I appreciate you stopping in here. We'll be talking throughout the session, obviously, and beyond, because these things always go beyond the session. But first of all, just thanks for your public service, you guys, and thanks for being here.
Thank you, Tom.
Thanks, appreciate Tom. It. I appreciate it.
Steve Heinbach and Barry Usher and Pat Flowers. Got to take a quick break. Nancy Schlepp is standing by. We'll talk mining issues when we come on back. Business Days at the Capitol on Voices of Montana.
Over the past 30 years, Montana has consistently ranked in the nation's top 5 states for suicides. This is not a statistic to be proud of. Many factors contribute to this, like social isolation, increased access to firearms, and alcohol use as a coping mechanism. The Montana Department of Public Health and Human Services is making it easier for anyone to get help through the new crisis call or text line 988. Let's give Montana a better statistic to be known by. If you or someone you know needs help, dial 988.
68th legislative session underway, and that's why we're here, Business Days at the Capitol. It's from Montana for Montana. Tom Schultz alongside with Voices of Montana. This event put on by the Chamber of Commerce here in just a little bit. There'll be a discussion on the Red Tape Relief Program. And Nancy Schlepp joins us. She is with Samfire Resources America, Vice President Communications. Hello, Nancy.
Good morning and Happy New Year.
Yeah, Happy New Year to you. And thanks for being here in the start of a session. I want to get, thoughts on resources and mining's agenda, so to speak. But let's go with this red tape relief. I've been looking forward for this report since like August of last year, and I think it's taken on. It's kind of become its own creature, I believe, because I think when you get into it and start looking at those regulations, it's a web. But I think you can chart a path that provides some relief, right?
Right.
What when you talk with Christian Juris today, What are your questions? What do you want to? What does the public need to know about this?
You know, I'm so excited for my visit with Lieutenant Governor Juris today at Business Days at the Capitol, because she does get to talk about her initiative with the red tape initiative and things they're getting rid of and getting ready for our visit. She shared with me that there are over 100 bills coming forward that are going to get rid of red tape, that is going to make it easier for businesses, and a lot of it has to do with licensing and making it easier. And I'm super excited for what that means for Montana. This has needed to happen for a long time, and it takes somebody with her background to be able to get through this, and she's done a great job.
The 100 bills, but there are probably 10,000 areas where policy, it doesn't necessarily take codified law, so to speak, where policy can get in and be adjusted.
You know, she also indicated that a lot of rules are being looked at with inside the agencies, and it's more than 100 bills, and each agency is also looking at efficiencies, especially for the business community, and this is good for our state. This is good for business, and if you have something you've been thinking about, I'm sure that they're going to look at this in the future too, if they're elected in the next term.
I should ask you questions about who is Sandfire Resources America, and you know, lay that out for us so we can understand your standing here at the legislature.
Sure. Yeah, I work for Sandfire Resources America, which is permitting the Black Butte Copper Project in White Sulphur Springs.
Really exciting project.
It's
a
great project. Yeah. Thank you. I've been so happy to work for it. And I'm also really proud that this is my home community. That's where I grew up, and I get to work on bringing 240 great-paying jobs. And so we've been working through the process. We have all our permits. Of course, every natural resource project gets litigated, so I'm actually looking forward to some of the litigation reform that we're looking at, and so right now our case will be in front of the Montana Supreme Court, and hopefully we'll have a decision later this year on going forward.
And the gist of that case is innovation, I believe.
Absolutely. There's six issues that are getting litigated. Five out of the six are actually things that we're doing a little further to protect the environment on. And there's not a lot of case law on them, so that it was easy to challenge. But we feel really good about how this is going to go forward and what we can do for the economy of Montana.
We're going to need copper like crazy in this next economy.
You are so correct. You know, every windmill has so much copper in it, every electric car. So if there continues to be a greening of the economy, especially in electric production, copper is going to be an essential part of that.
Nancy Schlepp with us, Vice President of Communications, Sandfire Resources America. So I'm going to go back to this fireside chat, you know, with Kristen Juris, Lieutenant Governor, and you had a chat with her ahead of time too. What else are you going to be bringing up? What strikes you as pretty cool coming out of that?
Yeah, you know, one of the things I've always loved about Lieutenant Governor Juris is her commitment to family, and she talked so lovingly about her grandchildren.
Oh, yeah.
And how much that means, and I think that really drives her for how she wants to set up the future for them in Montana so that they can all stay here and have great paying jobs. She also talked about the need for reform in tort reform, and she's going to go into that more detail. I think that is super important. She talked about getting ready for, and I don't have the details on this, but I think it's important, the foster care system in Montana and how it needs reform. So really caring about families and about jobs, and I just think I drew the lucky straw in getting to have this conversation with her today.
That's really cool, and I do appreciate how they approach this office. I think they really want information and data to try to make good decisions on.
The other thing that I was really impressed with is she said how much she loves working with the governor and what a great team they are. And I do think they are. I think they really complement each other. I think they work well together. And it's great seeing a lieutenant governor team that does the best for Montana every day and works together.
I'm just going to agree because I know those two as well, and I think they care, and it's for the right reason. In fact, a lot of the people I meet here are
Absolutely.
Doing it for the right reason. And
I agree.
Yeah.
Both parties, everyone wants to do the right thing. They just have different approaches.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Mining, what's on the table? What's on the agenda? What do you think? What's going to threaten and what's going to maybe encourage the economy?
You know, we are pretty excited about what we're bringing in mining. There's a transition in mining right now with a new exec in the Mining Association, and Matt Vinson is the new exec. He lives in Butte, and he's been working hard with the administration to set up a really, really great platform going forward. And actually, all of the bills, I think, that are coming forward are also going to be supported by DEQ. So a lot of background work has gone into the bills, and hopefully there's a lot of agreement. I don't see anything really hurting mining this session.
Good.
I just think this is a really nice opportunity for us to clarify a few bills and go forward united.
There's... You know, you talk tort reform, and it comes, they're talking it from a medical standpoint. They're also talking about it. You mentioned it, and everybody knows that you can't do any project without one or two or three court challenges to it. And so it becomes very difficult. Tort reform, though, is not something that's going to come easy.
No.
What does, and I know you don't speak for the entire mining association,
right,
so to speak, but what are your thoughts on that as you discuss that?
The one thing that struck me this morning with the legislators that spoke in leadership this morning was transparency. And I think that is really important in legal challenges as well. And if there's one change I would like to see, it'd be in transparency and who is funding cases. That would be really important for us because we get challenged and a lot of other projects across Montana get challenged by NGOs, and you don't know who's putting the money into those projects.
Yeah.
And transparency across the board, I think, would benefit all of us.
And those things are really, really expensive. I only got like 30 seconds.
Great.
Any thoughts on this legislature? Anything else you want to get out there?
You know, I would love this legislature to really focus on business issues. With a super majority, we have a real opportunity to do some great things for business. I hope they do that. I hope they do that early and make sure that they can go home and talk about wins for the business community.
Yeah, yeah. You've got a lot, and well, there was a super majority, but a lot of Democrats have talked about
absolutely.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah,
I think there's room in the middle, and I just hope they focus on those issues first.
Nancy Schlepp, good job. We'll see you down the road.
Thank
too,
you.
Okay?
Yes, yeah,
have a good
great.
Session. We're back with more Voices here in just a bit.
Voices of Montana continues right after this.
Is your alcohol or drug use starting to affect everyday life? Are you planning your day around your next drink? Are you hiding drinking or drug use from friends and family? These are common signs that your drinking or drug use might be part of a larger health challenge called addiction. Addiction is a chronic disease made worse by excessive use of alcohol or drugs. Most times, quitting on your own becomes impossible. That's where Rimrock can help. The largest facility in the region, Rimrock is ready to build you a custom roadmap to recovery. Rimrock has numerous treatment choices, including medical detoxification, inpatient treatment, residential living, and outpatient options. Rimrock offers a full-service mental health center designed to treat the whole person and continue with you after you leave treatment, including telehealth, wherever you might live. Start your recovery journey with Rimrock, and let's work together to create your roadmap to recovery. Call 800-227-3953 or visit rimrock.org.
The fastest hour in Montana radio continues. Call 866-627-5483 and join Montana's statewide radio talk show, Voices of Montana with Tom Schultz.
Boy, who knows what's going to happen here, right? It's the 68th Montana Legislature. There's some things, and we're talking about, and thanks for being here. We're two decades strong, working on three. Housing's a big thing. The workforce is a big thing. You know, there's a lot of, the budget's a big issue, the spending. But as Nancy Schlepp had just said, and welcome back, we're Business Days at the Capitol. Great Northern. It's put on by the Montana Chamber, and our guests here are Chamber Associated. One's Todd O'Hare. He's the President and CEO. Good morning, Todd.
Good morning.
Yeah. And also past President, I believe, of the Chamber, and just loves to come come to these events. Paul Hopoff with the Montana Dakota Utilities, Director of Strategic Planning and Growth. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, Tom. Thank you.
Thank you for being here. I appreciate that. We want to put those things on the table there. Nancy had said, I'm hoping, Nancy Schlepp, just previous segment with Samfire Resources, had said, I am hoping that this session focuses on business issues, because there's an opportunity here to do that. I want to go through some of the priorities that were listed by the leadership. You just had a panel up there, Todd, and it was very good, very informative. But let's start. Let's just switch it around. Let's start about that comment. And is this a good opportunity to get some work done for businesses, and what work needs to be done?
Yeah, well, I think this could be probably the best pro-business session that we've had in memory, right? And we're going into this session really optimistic as the Montana Chamber. We've got a big list of bills that we're bringing forward that primarily deal with business climate. And so we think that there's a golden opportunity here. We've got a great relationship with the governor. We're working closely with the governor. And so we think that, you know, this could be a session of a lifetime as far as business issues.
And Paul, you've been following politics as well. I mean, your comments on the what could come of this session for businesses.
Yeah, I'd really step off Todd's point. I think the last session was tremendous for business. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, in general, we've got a lot of optimism that can continue into this session and really build upon some of those things that happened 2 years ago.
What's the priorities? What's the chamber's priorities, Todd?
Well, a big part of our priority is going to be tackling what we call tort reform, mm-hmm. right? Trying to look for ways that we can lessen the litigation burden on businesses, right? And that's one of those sort of issues that affects every business through insurance rates, the threat of litigation, you know, overly protecting our practicing preventative sort of litigation practices in your business. We're doing those sort of things to try to hem some of that in a little bit so that business has got more certainty and every business will benefit from that. So that's a big part of what our big priorities are going in. We're looking at the business equipment tax, what the governor's brought forward there is to raising the exemption from $300,000 to $1 million. We think that's a huge priority. It's hugely important to business across the state, especially when you consider that a lot of businesses are turning more and more to automation. Agriculture has a big business equipment component to their business, and so anything that we can do to kind of provide more of that sort of tax relief to businesses will give them an opportunity to reinvest in their business and grow.
Tort reform for Montana Dakota Utilities takes on a whole different kind of outlook, but getting some of it done, and it's something you can do maybe in small steps. It's something that people are going to look. A major step needs to be done. How do you approach it, Paul?
Yeah, I think from a business perspective, predictability is really a key. Yeah. Especially from a utility standpoint, you're making investments that are 30, 40, 50 years out in terms of the life of those investments. So having a predictable business environment and that business climate that you can count on over the life cycle of that investment is so key.
And that's what's talked about an awful lot, Todd.
Yeah.
At the panel, getting some predictability.
Yeah.
Do businesses, do they see predictability coming, or they always operate without predictability? I'm assuming, or
yeah, I think there's that's part of the risk that a business has to accept, yeah. right? Is that, you know, there's a certain amount of unpredictability with operating a business. But as we go through these sessions, every session is an opportunity to kind of start pecking away at this thing, right? And the governor uses the term 3 and 5 yard gains, mm-hmm. and I've kind of stolen that from the governor because I think it's a great term, right? Because
yeah.
it's like that's what we're trying to do here is we're trying to do some 3 and 5 yard gains in terms of litigation reform or tort reform, right?
He probably stole it from somebody else, so don't worry about it. Yeah. But that's a good approach. 3 to 5 yard gains, is that something that your business, now you represent a lot of employees, and Montana Dakota Utilities provides energy and resources so businesses can grow.
Yeah, I think from a utility perspective, predictability is key, and we're definitely not known as an industry that knee jerks one way or the other.
Right.
You know, reliability is central to what we do. You need predictable, reliable, and affordable energy to our customers. So having a consistent game plan and moving methodically and purposefully forward is a key.
What would give consistency? Tom, I'll go back to you. What small, big, what 3, 5, 10 yard gain would give
consistency?
Well, I think some of the things that we're looking at is transparency in some of the litigation, right? There's a movement that's going on nationally where you've got hedge funds and big investment firms that are coming in and they're financing litigation. And, you know, we're not out to stop that, but we think that the jury pools and the judges need to be aware of this. Like, well, this litigation that we're hearing about, right, is actually being funded by a big hedge fund in New York, right? And so those are the sort of things that's like provide a little bit more transparency in there, talking about the length of time that you are actually served when you get sued, mm-hmm. right? So, like, mm-hmm. if there's an incident in your business, there should be a shorter time frame on when you actually get served to get sued on that sort. So that you're not waking up in 5 or 10 years and all of a sudden, wow, now all of a sudden I've got a lawsuit and I don't have any of the documents and my employees have turned over and I don't remember some of the certain events. And so we're trying to shorten up some of those sort of things. So that if there's a claim that to be made, right, you need to decide on that claim. You need to move on it rather quickly.
Paul, did you have any thoughts on that?
I would completely agree with what Todd said.
That's probably one of those smaller steps that, mm-hmm. that you can take, and that's probably an approach that you have to look at here. Overall, tort reform, is it something happening that needs to happen on a national level too? I mean, can we make adequate gains here in Montana and protect a certain base, so to speak, without having to consider the whole global?
I think there is, and part of the beauty about a state like Montana is that we can actually make some of those 3 and 5 yard gains. If you think about the U.S. Congress and how long it takes them to act and how long it is before that, you know, you conceive an idea until you actually get it signed into law. A lot of those never happen, right? And at a minimum, they take, you know, years, generations perhaps, right? And so this is an opportunity in a state like Montana where this is a citizen legislature, right? They listen to citizens, you know, they rely on the Montana Chamber of Commerce on behalf of business. And so these are these sort of opportunities where, like, here's where we can kind of start making some real difference. And we've got a governor that's been really supportive of these sort of things. You know, given his business background, he understands the challenges that come with tort and litigation. He understands the burdens that taxes place on business. He understands that from a real world perspective.
Yeah, and I think this morning listening to leadership, but from a business perspective, one of the things that you know was talked about with you hear in the media the differences, but I think if you look around the audience, when there was that collaborative moments where there was agreement across the aisle, that's what gets people excited. I mean, it's how do we come together as a state, both parties, to really to move the ball forward, keep with the football analogy.
And we saw a lot of commonalities. I think there's the differences were in some of the details.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it's like, okay, right? It's like there's some support for some sort of tax reform, but then it's the details of what that tax reform looks like.
Yeah, there are differences, but yep. If you can agree at 50,000 foot, you got a chance to get down to 10.
That's right. Yeah. I'd be encouraged by that, too, yeah, because that's a tough one. From Montana Dakota Utilities, Paul Hoppoff is with us, Board of Directors, Montana Chamber, Director of Strategic Planning and Growth there for MDU, and Todd O'Hare, the President and CEO of Montana Chamber of Commerce. Business Days at the Capitol. This is Voices of Montana. I'm Tom Schultz. Ballot initiatives. There were some interesting things. Mm-hmm. When you did a panel yesterday on ballot initiatives and things that struck out to me, I could list them, but I'd rather have your opinions on them, Todd.
Sure. Well, one of the things that we're trying to do in this legislative session with regard to ballot initiative reform is that right now our laws aren't consistent with those that are running ballot initiatives as they are with candidates running for office. And so you can have someone come up with an idea to gather signatures for a ballot, and their reporting requirements as far as how much they're spending and what it is that they're doing aren't as strong as those that are a candidate running for office, right? And so those are some of the sort of things that we want to kind of tackle here, so that if someone has an idea and they want to bring it forward via a ballot initiative, right, they need to be reporting what their expenditures and the efforts that they're putting into that thing so that the citizens can have a discussion and have an understanding of, you know, what is going into that sort of thing and is there an appropriate response to that. Yeah. And we saw some of this happen this spring through the Constitutional Initiative 121, mm-hmm. and then there was an initiative called I-191. The first one, the Constitutional Initiative, would have essentially put a cap on property tax, which sounds great, except what you're doing is you're just capping residential property tax, and you've been shifting that sort of tax over on the business, right? And so the business community had to mobilize and say, look, this is really a bad idea. And so the business community expended a tremendous amount of money trying to keep the signatures from being gathered on that sort of thing. But we were blind as far as what they were doing on their side as far as, you know, trying to gather those signatures. Mm. The ballot initiative 191 would have put certain water restrictions on parts of the Gallatin and the Madison rivers up there, which when you look at what that would have done, I mean, you're talking about a massive reduction in the amount of development going in one of the fastest growing parts of the state of Montana, one of our real strong points. So the business community, again, had to step up and engage and try to get involved in that sort of thing and try to educate voters before they signed on to those ballot initiatives. It's like, yeah, this could be a real problem. And so providing some transparency there so that as a business community, we can respond as citizens and individual voters. They can kind of see what's going on. We think that should be the same as what candidates running for office should have.
Boy, I'm dying to hear your answer on this too, Paul, because when you're working for MDU, one of your panelists, and I'm going to take this break. I'm just going to tease this up because I'm going to take a break. And it's, had talked about an initiative years ago that tried to stop the mining industry. Mm-hmm. You know, they could come after Montana Energy Resources as well. So we're going to pick that up when we come on back after a short break. We're with Todd O'Hare, President and CEO of the Montana Chamber, and Paul Hopup with Montana Dakota Utilities, Director of Strategic Planning and Growth. Do you have to look that up every now and again?
I get that mixed up all the time.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, thanks. Appreciate that. And we're back with more Business Days at the Capitol from the Chamber here on Voices of Montana.
Work-based health insurance not working for you and your family? Aware of new tax credits that reduce premiums for dependents? Now's the time to enroll. And if your work-based health insurance isn't working, Mountain Health Co-op has you covered. With benefits like dental and vision exam reimbursement options, many zero-cost-share medications, and telehealth access, Mountain Health Co-op can help you start saving on services you use most. Mountain Health Co-op, keeping you covered when it counts.
Ballot initiative reform, one of the things on the plate here is we welcome you back and get right back into it. Todd O'Hare with us with the Chamber of Commerce, Paul Hopup, a friend of mine from Glendive from years ago with Montana Dakota Utilities. And Paul, we talked about ballot initiatives, reform there. Todd had laid some things out. When you're working for Montana Dakota Utilities, and I think I noted that there was an initiative or a ballot initiative out there that threatened the entire mining community. So you look at how deep a ballot initiative can be, and it's more serious, I think, than people recognize.
Yeah, no, I agree, Tom. And the when you think about ballot initiative reform, I think it's important to, you're really looking at preserving the rights of citizenry to take issues directly to the public.
Yeah.
But also trying to strike a balance with, again, back to that business predictability. And you referenced the mining constitutional initiatives on the ballot. You know, that was something that just kind of, they come out of left field, and that put that industry in a position to spend tens of millions of dollars defending their existence. So it really does, you know, finding that balance to maintain that predictability, again, to those long-term investments that companies are make.
Well, and Todd, you had talked about, and you know what, I'm going to move on because workforce is the thing I want to get to. But just to finish that thought, you talked about putting together a fund for rapid response for ballot initiatives, and I think that'll be important, and we'll follow that. Workforce, development, it all goes into housing. Montana's in a tough spot.
Yeah, you know, and we're not alone. You know, this workforce issue is a national issue. Every state is struggling with this, and you take a look at the demographics of a state like Montana, and we're an aging population. This is not an issue that's going to go away anytime soon. So some of the things that we're going to be looking at during this legislative session is what sort of things can we do to strengthen career and technical education, you know, FFA, HOSA, BPA, some of those sort of programs, you know. Anything that we can do to strengthen the trades, there's a tremendous amount of demand in the trades, and those are good paying, safe sort of jobs that can provide careers for people. So those are some of the things on the workforce development front that we're going to be really looking at during this legislative session is that, you know, how can we support current technical education, how can we support the trades, how can we create more opportunities for kids in high school through apprenticeships and work-based learning, some of those sort of things, so they can kind of start to figure out what it is that they want to do, whether they want to go on to a four-year university or a two-year college or go straight to work out of high school.
Todd, Tunnel Hair, Chamber of Commerce, and Paul Hopoff, we don't have enough time. I want to ask you, Montana Dakota Utilities, you guys are doing some of your own workforce development, aren't you?
We do. We have a lot of in-house training programs. Todd mentioned the apprenticeship programs. We've got our own in-house apprentice programs as well. You know, we're finding you gotta raise your own.
Yep.
More and more all the time.
Yeah, and that's what I like about businesses and a free market system. You can respond. It may take some time, but you have that opportunity to respond. Thank you, guys. Have a good session. I know we'll chat with you down the road. Looking forward to it.
All right. Thank you,
great
Tommy.
Event, too, Todd. Thank
Thanks
you,
for being here.
Yep. My thanks to Paul Hopoff and Todd O'Hare and everybody here. We will see you tomorrow on Voices.
You've been listening to Voices of Montana. Comments and opinions heard are those of the host or callers, and not necessarily those of this station, sponsors, or Northern News Network. Join us Monday through Friday at 9:06 for Voices of Montana.